Hi, I'm George.
I'm Dan.
I'm Rick.
And we are Queer Magnolias,
the podcast.
Each episode, we're going to talk about what it was like growing up gay in the South.
The trials and the tribulations.
The joy and the struggle.
And more importantly, how we became who we are today.
Oh, honey, queer and fabulous.
So come on in, y'all, and get comfortable, Shug.
Kick off your shoes and sit a spell.
And at the end of each episode, we're going to meet up out on the front porch for my favorite part of the podcast,
Happy Hour.
So join us for an all-you-can-eat buffet of cutting up,
foolishness, and carrying on.
Always served with a heaping helping of sass.
And that's a Queer Magnolias guarantee.
Moderation.
What's that?
Us Magnolias are known for being extra. Mm-hmm. Extra serving. Mm-hmm. Extra shots. Mm-hmm. Extra whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
An extra hour.
Okay.
Extra thick.
Well,
extra ready.
And our favorite extra, extra attitude.
Heaping helping.
And you get some, and you get some, and you get some.
You know you like it.
On this week's episode, we help ourselves to an extra slice as we discuss overindulgence.
All right. Mm.
Plus, it's another birthday season for us Magnolias.
Yes.
Whose birthday is it by chance?
Who could it be?
I can't imagine princesses.
Y'all getting old. I waited for you.
Does that mean we get extra drinks?
Yeah,
drinks.
No.
I think we just get into it now.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. Let's get it.
Stick your hand in.
All the way.
Just take it all. Just take it all.
Extra. Extra deep.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't know anything about overindulgence. That's just a fantasy for some people.
It's a fantasy.
It's a fantasy.
It's a French vanilla fantasy.
Yeah, no.
I agree. I don't overdo it either. I do just enough.
you just take it to the line. Oh, hello.
Well, hello, overindulgence. Is that you calling? Oh, my.
Airplane mode. Airplane mode.
That's funny.
Well, you know, the saying is one man's trash is another man's treasure. So just because I have an extra drink, maybe it's my treasure and not my trash. It makes you trashy.
Mm-hmm. Your pleasure.
Your pleasure right,
right, of course.
Hey.
I think overindulgence is, it exists. I think overindulgence exists, but I also think that it can be used as a way to make somebody feel guilty. Perhaps someone doesn't feel like they're overindulging.
Well, that's true. I think it's very eye of the beholder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think each person is different.
Because, you know, it's real easy to sit on one side of the table and judge a bitch.
I'm usually on that side.
Come sit next to me.
Right? I may not want to be judged, but I'm good at it.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I've never judged anybody in my life.
Yeah, we've heard.
In Hebrew, Daniel stands for judge.
Oh.
So what the fuck you think I'm supposed to do? I'm not supposed to be sitting over there with no opinion.
I see.
My Hebrew name says I should have an opinion.
I think George must mean spend.
So let's pretend then for a moment that you do overindulge, or maybe perhaps you do enjoy a little bit too much.
Why are you looking at me?
No one's looking at you. What are some of the things that you sort of indulge on? Or what causes it? Actually, let's go with that. When are moments that you feel like maybe you're overdoing it a little bit?
When I'm with y'all.
You're lucky. For me, it's usually about 20 minutes before y'all get here. I'm like, oh, Jesus, got to gird the loins.
Here they come. Can I get in this girdle? Wait.
What is Rick's famous quote? Oh, I couldn't possibly.
Right? Would you like another? I couldn't possibly.
I couldn't possibly.
Standing over there with his glass. Right.
I don't know what you're talking about. Right.
Empty glass, mind you.
Randolph, my ice cubes are dry.
Well, I mean, I'll go if you dive in. I think for me, I always start to... It's whenever I feel like I start going overboard on stuff is usually when I start to feel happy, weirdly enough.
Totally.
If I become happy with something, or stress is certainly suddenly taken away, or, you know, some kind of relief that something is done or finished, it's all of that sort of happiness that it's over and I can relax a little bit. Now I'm going to go overboard. Let's go to dinner. Let's eat all night long. Let's order 3 bottles of wine. Let's just go and do the whole thing.
Shots.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it's usually food, drinks, and then shopping, mostly on Amazon and usually in that order. All right.
could be a very common thread at this table. Yeah. Like, I feel like those are some super, I can check those boxes too, for sure. Yeah, I like to eat out a lot. I think, you know, we've talked about this before, but just being Southern, food is such a comfort for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, if there's ever a bad day, it's like, oh, the hell with it. Let's just, you know, I'm not going to cook. I'm going to, let's go out and let's do it. And I'm going to feel better. So, but is that an overindulgence or is that a coping mechanism?
Well, I mean, that's a great question.
Or is it a reward?
Or is it a reward?
Because I do think that there are things that I overindulge in, and I know that. We may or may not get to that part, you know, because I'm a little angel. But the other thing is, there are days where you come home and, or maybe I don't make it home. I just simply go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know what? I am single. I live alone. And yes, I can cook for myself quite easily. And I do often. But some days I just want someone else to cook. I want someone else to clean the dishes. Mm-hmm. I want someone else to wait on me rather than me coming home and wait on myself. Some people who tend to be homebodies have said to me in the past, well, don't you ever eat at home? Of course I eat at home. But I also I don't post... you know, cereal on Instagram.
I mean,
I post a fabulous photo of a steak or oysters or wherever I've been.
Also, mind your business.
Precisely. Right. So I think we're going to come back to that because I do think that that's a big thing with where I am in my mental process right now, drawing boundaries mm-hmm. on, you know, sometimes people say, oh, Jesus, this is the fourth meal out this week. It's probably the eighth. You just didn't see the other four.
Well, there's a difference between living your life and being overindulgent.
True, true. I think if you're a sloth, and you know, you go, we've talked about this, buffets are big in the South.
Oh, honey.
If you're on the 18th plate at a buffet, that's overindulgent.
Yes.
It just is. I mean, it's funny because there are times where, like, I'm a meat and potatoes person or an entree person. I may have a salad or an appetizer, maybe. But if I've had that and an entree, I don't have any desire whatsoever for dessert. Now, I might want the third martini, maybe the fourth.
That's the dessert for me.
Yeah, right? Depends on who's making it. See. So, you know. And my shopping is out. I like going out to shop. I like Amazon a lot. But I like going out and touching my purchase.
That's true. I feel like with you, because I've certainly gone shopping with you many, many, many times, shopping is an event for you.
It is.
Which I love. I love that it's an event because usually it involves lunch and it involves drinks and then some more shopping. It's very ab-fab.
Yesterday was case in point. I had a really lovely day yesterday. I had drinks and dinner and I went shopping.
And here's the thing about overindulgence. I feel like that's such a judgment. And my life is not a televised sport. I do not need a referee.
Yeah, we saw how short sports ball was. I kicked that referee to the curb. Exactly. Unless he's got a gold American Express or platinum, then the referee can come along.
Now, see.
Oh, Lord, don't bring up Amex. Well, I do think that I think I'm probably going to take part of yours away. I sometimes know I might have overindulged when the Amazon or the Amex bill comes. So it's like, oi.
Did you want to say that? No.
Okay.
I was actually just saying to these guys, it amazes me every month when my bill comes in that it's $500 more than it was the month before.
The cost of living's going up, honey.
It is.
Hashtag God.
Hashtag goals.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, going back to what you said, Rick, like, when do you overindulge? And I definitely see that when I'm riding high on something. Know something great happened at work, you know, something fun's happening in life, and it just you start riding that good feeling,
like, that feel good moment.
Feel good moment. Yeah. And if there's alcohol involved at any point,
the feel good stays all night exactly. Until the next morning.
And yes,
then it's like, or for me, it could be the opposite. If I've had a really, really, really rough time at work, I might overindulge in trying to put the ship back right, so to speak. If I feel like it's listing too far left or right, then I want to sort of push it back to where it was, you know, in the middle. Find a happy medium. The sad thing is sometimes I push the ship a little too far to the other side, but that's only sad to me because I try not to push my ship on other people. Unless I say, George, you want to go shopping?
Ah, see. Let me pull my dinghy right up along next to that ship.
Toot, toot.
Exactly. Steamboat Willie, honey.
But it's funny when thinking about this that all of the things that I turn to when those moments were, oh, let's find the feel good, right? Keep the party going, is all the stuff that is, quote, unhealthy options, unquote, I guess, if you will. It's never, oh, I'm going to run an extra mile because I'm feeling good now, or I'm going to go to the gym because I feel, you know, this got done today. It's none of that. It's always, you know, bring on the booze.
Yeah. So the opposite side of that.
Bring on the carbs. Sorry. Bring
carbs
on the carbs.
Are always yeah. fun.
Carbs. So the opposite side of that coin is, I wonder if you guys do this. Like, if you're in a not so good place, do you overindulge yourself in not great things, like too many sad songs, or like you let yourself wallow in like whatever misery you're in? Is that considered an overindulgence? Because mm-hmm. I feel like you're indulging, you are overly indulging yourself in misery.
Yeah, I've done it with breakups and, you know, things that, you know, when I'm feeling particularly down, I will really kind of go all in on a fucking...
Yeah, draw the blinds. Well,
yeah. All in on Adele, honey.
Right. Is that overindulging, or is that just coping with hurt and pain?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's the question with all of this.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I think it could be both. I do think that there are times where, you know, I pull the blinds and turn the lights down low and put Dinah Washington on, and she and I sing all the blues in the entire world.
Uh-huh.
I can't do Adele. I'd slip my wrist if I had to listen to a whole Adele album. I mean, I'm praying.
I'm going
to
edit that right out because I love Adele.
I'm praying for one happy fucking song from that woman. She has such a gorgeous voice. But I do agree with you. I do find that because I have a slight tendency to be a depressive personality, that I have to be careful
yeah.
in overindulging, because I can slip into a two-day funk and still go to work because I'm going to get that damn paycheck. Mm-hmm. But it's not a healthy thing for me.
Yeah.
And I do think part of in when we knew this subject was going to be our topic, one of the things is I find that I have to be careful in overindulging on self-pity or recrimination or trying to fix someone else when it's not my place to fix.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because, you know, if you love someone, you don't want to see your friend or loved one hurting. And I have been known to way overindulge in someone else's issue at that moment trying to fix something, and I can't.
Yeah.
And it ends up boomeranging and affecting me, because at the end of the day, 95% of the time or more, none of those loved ones or friends ever asked me to fix a fucking thing. I just thought I was helping. And that overindulgence, I have learned of late, is very unhealthy for me. And I have to pull back.
So that's boundaries. That's just making boundaries for yourself.
It is, but it's also trying to figure out what it is about my personality that feels the need
yeah.
to fix.
To be a fixer.
And help in something that's not mine. I will let my shit lay on the side over here that needs working on while I help someone else fix their house and mine's leaning to the side. And so that is part of my personality, and it's a part of my personality I'm not overly fond of. And so I don't find it, at this age, it's not healthy anymore. Oh, yeah. It probably was never healthy ever, but yeah. I always thought it was. I just knew I was helping.
Yeah. So. Well, that brings me to a point that I was thinking about, you know, overindulgence now, you know, what we do now. But obviously, we've done different things in the past. Like, I used to smoke all the time, cigarettes. I smoked for 15 years, so... Mm. And there would be a point I would smoke so much that I'd make myself green and sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't even think about it because you're just going through the process.
I smoked for a very long time as well. Yeah. Same thing.
I wonder in those times, it's a habit, obviously. Yeah. It becomes a habit. And I think I used to watch my mom smoke. My dad, towards the end of his life, but especially my mom when I was little, she would sit on the back step and she'd tuck her legs up under her, and she would just smoke endlessly and drink coffee. And she was lost in her own little world. But I look back and I think she got in her own little world. It was her coping mechanism. And she shut me out and she shut everyone else out. And in my way of thinking, and this is a big leap, I think that cigarettes are probably the most addicting thing and one of the most unhealthy. because I see a lot of people who smoke, they get into that zone with a cigarette, and the world can go to hell as long as they have that cigarette. Hmm. So that's just my thought.
I used to be in that zone. I know it very well. Yeah. And it's funny that what you talked about with your mom sitting out back smoking a cigarette with her legs drawn up and sort of in her own world, that was my favorite part about it. You know, because it was always, I think, the most aside from the physical addiction, I think the most addictive thing about it was the mental addiction, not just in the fact that it's habit forming, but to be able to sit down and that 3 to 4 to 5 minutes that you're having that cigarette, that's your time. And nobody else wants to come around you because you're smoking, so you actually can sit there and sort of be in your own zone. And that was, I think, the most exciting part of smoking for me. And the one thing I dealt with the most when I quit smoking and sort of coming to terms with.
Yeah, I met Rick about the time he was, you were still smoking when I first met you. And I think within the first year I knew you, you were beginning to stop smoking, and you have been stopped for quite some time. And I've just seen so many people. My dad fought that addiction his entire life. Both my parents, I think, started at 12 or 13. And my mom stopped a few times. She was stopped at the end of her life. Daddy probably smoked the last day of his life. So he wasn't going to give it up. It didn't matter about, let's see, a stroke, lung cancer, poor circulation, give me a fucking cigarette. That's what he told the surgeon after she removed part of his lung. She asked him what the first thing he wanted to do was. He said, I'm going to have a cigarette as soon as you sign that form and I can get out of here. And at that point, I was like, oh, alrighty then.
And I quit. It's coming up on 12 years now. It took me about a year to quit. It was a bit of a struggle. I used Chantix, which probably took about 80% of it away from me. And then it made the other 20% a little easier to deal with, but that was fine until I started going back out and socializing again. I stayed home for, I don't know, a solid 2 or 3 months, I think. And then I was like, all right, I need to be around people. So I started socializing again. And then when I'd go out and I'd be with people who were drinking and smoking, and if I had a beer or whatever, suddenly I wanted a cigarette. Mm-hmm. So then it became through that year, oh, well, then I'll just have a cigarette on Friday nights and Saturday nights. And then, you know, whatever, I'll be fine through the week. And then it became the little cheat one in the week. And then it was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. And I quit cold turkey. It just was this yo-yo for about a year. And finally, I just said, look, if you're going to do it, you got to just do it. But the funny thing for me when I quit smoking was that I didn't mean to turn this into a smoking episode. Sorry, I'll be quick. The funny thing that really kind of clicked in my brain is when I started running. Then when I got to, I was up to about 5 miles. And then I'd be out with friends and I would have a drink and then be like, oh, I think I'll have a cigarette. And then something in my brain said, well, if you're going to run 5 miles in the morning, a cigarette is not going to help you do that. Mm. And like a light switch, it went off and it hasn't come back on.
There you go.
So
that's cool.
How did you quit, Jake?
Let's see. I did like a vape pen. You know, I did the juice.
Mm.
And it was such a pain in the ass. You know, it fed that need to smoke. I mean, I still smoke pot. It's legal.
In no some states. Oh, I'm judging.
I still smoke pot, but like to actually quit smoking cigarettes, I used vape pen, and it was just such a pain to fill the, you know, I had like this little oil, and I'd fill this little chamber up, and it tastes great, and I got to the point where I didn't even, it was not about the nicotine, it was just about the smoking of it. And I was like, this is not worth it at all. And I would go back to cigarettes, and I had to convince myself out of liking it.
Mm.
So psychologically, I was like, do I really want this? And then eventually it would just make me sick. I'm like, do I really want to be sick? And then I was like, I don't care. I don't care anymore. And then I allowed myself, but if I wanted to break from that, that's fine. I think I had one the other week, and I was like, what? I had
a couple of them. It's gross, isn't it?
It's so disgusting.
You know, you go 2 or 3 months without a cigarette, and suddenly, you know, it's out of your system. The first one you have is like, ugh, this is garbage. Yeah. This is nasty.
It was slow, you know, a gradual quitting for me. And I still tell myself, fine, if you want to have one, that's fine. Because at this point, I know I'm not going to keep smoking again because it's so disgusting. And every time I've done that, so it's been like 2 years now that I haven't been a smoker, and I probably smoked maybe 3 times in between that, and once I got really, really sick. really sick. So
that's what I find most people say, that they get to a point where if the smell of it even nauseates.
So I'd say that for me, I can smell it when I'm in traffic and someone else in another car is smoking. And I hate the smell of it now. But my mother, who was forced to quit because of COPD, still craves the smell of cigarettes. And she'll never let that go. She's like, I love it. I just love it. I know I shouldn't, but I do. And I'm like, well, you know, it's fine. You know, if that's what she likes, that's what she likes. Yeah,
so. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm really feeling like I need to judge George about something. So, George, what overindulgence can we judge you about, dear?
Why was I being too quiet during this? Uh-huh.
George and I are not smokers.
Literally nothing to say about this conversation.
Well, let me turn it in a different direction. So,
uh-oh.
What about social media? Do you guys feel that you
No, go ahead. That's a good one.
I'm going to say, do you guys feel you spend too much time on social media? Because I sure as hell do.
I guess I spend more time on it now because of the podcast, probably than I ever did. Like, I was never big on social media. I was one of those people that's like, I don't have to put my life on a social media platform to feel like I'm living it, which I feel some people really do. Like, every meal has to be photographed. Like, everything. Like, who are you convincing that you're having a good time? Yourself or somebody else?
Well, there is that. But then sometimes I post some things so I'll remember not what I ate, but
where?
If I liked it, where, and stuff like that. I just got back from Denver, and one of the things Rick and I were talking about before I went was we'd been a few years ago and had this really great dinner, and so we were both trying to find the picture of it, and we did, you know, and I found it on Instagram. Because if I had to look through a picture catalog on my phone, I'd be there 3 years.
10,000 fucking photos just from the past month.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I overindulge in taking photos.
Oh,
that
I
meant me, but
oh no. But okay.
I will definitely cop to that. So I do think, though, on social media, for me, I have to be careful not to get in a rabbit hole every morning. I find it's very easy to turn it on and do something in the morning, and then next thing you know, it's 20 minutes later or an hour later. And
girl, you know how many
and for me, well, for me, it doesn't work. I need to set that down and then come back to it later, because at a later time, I am less likely to sit for an hour with it.
Well, you know me and my TikTok rabbit holes.
Yes, we do, dear.
If I start looking at TikTok at 5:30 in the morning, I look up and it's, oh, shit, I was supposed to be in the office 10 minutes ago.
And he's still ticking and talking.
I know that feeling.
And they're and they're all designed to do just that.
Exactly.
I mean, during the last election, I mean, Twitter, everyone was all over Twitter with politics.
Oh, I went insane on the last election on Twitter. I've dialed it back big time.
Yeah,
thank you for calling me out.
I did not call you out, but that shoe does fit you, hun. I can't do that.
You did at the time, though.
I did.
You did say something.
Because
And I'm glad you did, because it actually made me put it in perspective. I'm like, okay, I need to pull back, because I was getting, it was getting a little too crazy.
It's so easy. I mean, it is designed that way. All of them, not just Twitter. I like Twitter. They're all designed to capture you. I mean, now all of a sudden, everybody's got a reel. Everything's about a video and a reel. If I see one more guy smack his chest and he changes his shirt or he takes it off, which I prefer the taking off part, but I don't really give a fuck
about. I love that, though. That's my favorite TikTok, is the transformation.
For this week.
Yes, exactly. I love the transformation.
I'm still watching the mariachi dancers from 2 years ago. I'm way old school at this point, so... It is something, though, some days I take something that I might consider an overindulgence, and I look at it as a moment of peace. So in the mornings I get up, and my morning ritual every day is a pot of coffee, at least, every morning, and I sit quietly. I might play a video game. I might just read, might look at social media, but that first hour of the morning is mine. I rarely engage too much. Never, no one ever calls anymore. It's just texting. So,
me starting at 5:30 in the morning
on 18 group text. Help me, Jesus. Sorry. Some days I have to text Rick and say, "Please stop, please."
Well, they have that little mute button that you can just mute. Yes, I do that to y'all a lot.
Yes, but you're on 8 of them that are muted, and you still find a way in.
You will see this. You will answer it.
So just everybody sitting at this table, and the most of you who listen to the podcast who know me, know that I have a bag fetish.
Oh, are we going to talk about shopping now? Well, are you calling me out?
Now, I'm going to talk about it gently. Uh-huh. So some people say, oh, my God, another bag. And what I say is, oh, my God, don't I look cute with my new bag?
Don't I look cute with my new strawberry shortcake?
Thank you, honey. Thank you. You know, because I am a collector. Mm-hmm. I collect music. I collect books. I collect bags and sunglasses. And I overindulge in all the things that I love that make me happy. And those things don't take the place of my peace, which makes me happy. That's P-E-A-C-E. Scott, don't get it wrong now. So it's all about the peace. So some things make me peaceful, but it's just one of those things that I like things. Some people call it a little overindulgence. I don't. I enjoy it. So
I agree to an extent. I definitely think there comes a point where it's like, oh, I've got all this stuff. And it's sitting in boxes. And what am I doing? How is it making me happy just knowing that I have it in a box somewhere?
I don't disagree with you on that. But then I'm looking forward to winning the lottery so I can have a big house to unpack all the boxes
prepping
I
in advance.
Well, I mean, and I hear that too.
I am filling up spaces for a two-story home with 4 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms that I will have one day. And I'm prepared. On the day I move in, it will be full.
Girl, the amount of furniture I have bought saying, well, one day I'll live somewhere other than where I live now and I'll have room for it. So just put it in the garage until that glorious day arrives. And then you suddenly like, I don't have any room in my garage, but I got all this stuff I'm not using.
But you may get a bigger garage at the next place. That's one good way to look at it, you know? And George and I have talked about for at least 3 years about having a yard sale. And then along comes COVID. And I don't want anybody coughing on my shit before I sell it to them. And so we just haven't gotten around to the yard
sale. But you know what else about yard sales? This is the truth about a yard sale. You put all your stuff out and you sell it for whatever price you. And at some point, you're like, I just want to get rid of it. I just want to get rid of it. Whatever. I'll just make an offer. And then it's over and you think, gosh darn it, why did I sell that for $5? I missed that thing.
And then you go buy another one.
And somewhere in the late 90s, I bought a brown collarless Liz Claiborne shirt that, a crew neck, I guess, that you pull over your head. It had 2 little buttons at the top. I just the other day was thinking about, I really wish I hadn't donated that one because I got this other thing I can wear with
see?
It, you know?
That's why you should never throw anything away. Never get rid of anything. No.
So is sex an overindulgence?
No.
It can be, of course.
No.
Not for me.
The more I get, the more
I want. That's a hard no.
Next.
Okay. Moving right along. Y'all can comment in the comments about that.
All right. One last one. What about distractions? Do you indulge in distractions in order to avoid doing something? Like for me, okay, there's people from work that are, well, there are people that are from work that are listening, so I probably shouldn't say this, but whatever, I'm going to go for it. I indulge in distractions daily to avoid having to deal with work stuff. I'm like, I don't have to deal with that right now. Maybe I'll go watch Good Witch.
All this is going to be edited out. Yeah. We know that part.
Well, there are 2 new seasons to watch on Netflix.
I know, and I'm loving it.
Jake,
I know.
Help us with that damn bird. Really. Mm. Sometimes I think that's simply needing a little bit of mental health. I do think that, and it's also sometimes procrastination. So sometimes I don't want to start a project, so I think of this, that, and the other. I had a phone call for a potential client that I needed to return yesterday. And I will tell you that all day long, I thought about it. And at about 4:30 in the afternoon, I sent her a text acknowledging that I had gotten her voicemail from the day before and that I would get back with her next week. I didn't make any big excuses. I just said, because she had said whenever it's convenient. I think, oh my gosh, I got to do this right now. But the truth of the matter is, I don't have to do this right now. And yesterday was not the day. My head space was somewhere other than being enchanting for a potential new client. So I was like, man, you know, next week I have plenty of time, and she and I'll have a great conversation. And she texted back, that's great, thanks. So I think sometimes distractions come along, and sometimes I have to listen, at least for me, to that inner voice that says, don't make that call right now, because this is certainly not the time to get into this issue, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, I have those feelings too. And then, but if there's, what's odd about me though, is if there's something I really am not looking forward to dealing with, like there's a conversation I have to have with somebody that I know is going to be tough to have, and it's just, I'm dreading having the conversation. I will not let it linger. I will get it over with in that moment right then and there, because I don't like that feeling of thinking about it. Every time you think about it and you get a pit in your stomach and like, ugh, I got to talk to them. I'm like, nope, I'm just going to do it right now and get it over with, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. And then comes that chase that feel good moment, because that stress is gone, and then I can dive in and do whatever the fuck I want.
Oh my God, I sort of germinate my pit. It's like, oh, let's wait on this and make that pit the size of an elephant.
Now, I'm much more like Rick, where if there's something I have to do on my list of things to do in a day, and it's like the hardest, I try to do the hardest thing first.
Yep.
Because then I'm not thinking about it all day. And I'm not thinking, oh, I don't even know how to do this. Like, I'm like, I could just do it first, and then everything else after that's cake.
I give both y'all up here, here, because that's me very too. Wise.
Yeah, I know. Procrastinate. Yes, please.
Yes, last thank you, Jake. Jake and I'll be
my best
along
work.
In a while. Uh-huh. Well, you know.
Best work at the last
under
minute.
Fire. I picked a pace up.
Procrastination artist.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm here to tell you all this conversation about overindulgence just makes me thirsty as all get out.
Was that speaking of the elephant in the room.
Is that an overindulgence?
Well, I don't know. I think we figured that out.
Well, let's go overindulge.
Come on, let's do it.
All right, let's go. We'll see you outside.
Front porch, I'm a-coming.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the front porch, everybody.
Hello there.
Hi.
And this front porch, yes. I feel like we've got a little celebrating to do.
Whatever do you mean?
Right?
I think we've got two birthday boys in the house.
We have autumn birthday boys, Rick and Jake.
So let's raise a glass to Rick and Jake.
Yes.
Hey, cheers.
Happy
cheers.
Birthday.
Ching. Yes.
Mm. Ooh.
Whoa. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sake to me, honey. What is this?
I could drink a lot of that.
It's called Destination Moon.
Oh, all right.
Oh, I know where I'm going.
We're going to be over the moon with this good stuff.
That's what you should call it, over the moon.
What's in it?
Well, it's vodka and Cointreau and tart pure cherry juice.
Pure and cherry, honey.
Pure cherry.
Unsweet.
Pure tea.
Unsweet.
Pure
yeah, it's tea better cherry. To get that. And then club soda or Sprite, whichever one. If you want a little sweeter, put Sprite and club soda. Otherwise, and then squeeze of a half a lemon.
Oh, it's delish.
Mm-hmm. All my favorite things.
Yes.
Happy birthday
it's
to me.
It's bright and tart. And yes. Happy birthday.
16.
Okay. You're about to die, bitch. About to push you off this front porch. Yeah.
We should have called this the dark side of the moon. That's your age. Mm,
it's funny.
Your walker, honey, it's over there. Over there. There's your walker sugar.
Can you bring it to me? Can you help mommy? Sweetie, help mommy.
Put your sugar teeth back mom. In. And put your teeth back in and let's record something.
I will after I have the cake.
Nom, 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 nom.
Well, what do we got in the old honey pot today? Jake.
Well, let's take a look.
Hey.
You're reaching into the old birthday box today, aren't you?
That's right. Tell our fortunes. Sorry. I stepped right over you. Tell our fortunes.
Yes.
About last night.
Oh, Lord,
dot,
no.
Dot,
no.
Dot, dot, Lord. Dot.
I think the explicit button that we usually check for our episodes probably won't cover about last night.
So, yeah, about last night. Maybe not necessarily last night, but what about in the past?
Well, I think the birthday boy should go first.
Oh. I can talk about last night. I can talk about Mikey.
No.
Mikey.
And it even has a name. I love that.
That he remembers.
I was about to say, this is a memorable episode.
Well, he has an OnlyFans.
He likes it. Mikey likes it.
Well, you know, Mikey likes it.
They're trying to clean that up. Have they cleaned it up yet, dear?
No. That's
no, they have not. just so we're clear, no, they have not. So,
unicorns and unicorns and puppies. That's what's on OnlyFans now.
Yes. Unicorn underwear.
Uh-huh. And that's some puppies. Wow. So I did see some puppies last night too, actually.
So tell us about Mikey.
He's a really cute, likable, sort of really nice guy. I think he's in his 30s, and he's gay, he's an amputee, and we met him last night, and he just couldn't have been more personable and fun and just like nothing but pure joy. And then, of course, everybody starts saying, well, I think he has an OnlyFans. And so they're like,
subscribe, like, tip.
What's funny is everybody was like, ching, but I don't want to ask. So I was like, get out of the way. I walked over and I was like, I hear you have an OnlyFans. And he's like, I do. And it's Mr._Mikey. MYKEE. Go check him out.
Mikey. All right. Okay.
Oh, OnlyFans plug.
He's also got a Twitter, which is Mikey_Mr. It's the reverse. He's the versatile.
So what I'm seeing here, dear, is a restraining order coming on Monday.
Oh, probably it'd be okay. Tomorrow, actually.
What I'm seeing cease is some cross-pollination with the... Oh, well. You need to plug us now, Mikey. And I mean
okay.
Our podcast.
Yes, 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 Mikey.
Plug the podcast, not us. Plural.
I said the same thing last night.
Yeah, I bet.
I gave him our podcast link tree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I gave it to a few people last night. And the link tree.
Well, so I have to ask, did you subscribe?
Of course.
Well, I hope he subscribed to the podcast as well.
I mean,
well, we got a few new views this morning, so something worked.
All right. Yeah. All right.
You got to give to get, honey.
Uh-huh. I can't say anyone at this table hasn't been there before. We all subscribe to that.
Yes, exactly.
Oi. And then all my cash is gone too, because I remember I gave it to the dancer before I left, and I think I might have had like $60 or $70 in my pocket, and I just shoved it right in the crotch and left.
She's your private dancer, a dancer for money,
right? Well, did you want to pass around a picture of the dancer so we could know what that was
the
like?
The dancer,
as well?
I don't have a photo of. I don't think. Let me look.
Well, you know, if you don't have a photo, it's not real.
I can show you Mikey's Twitter.
I'm sure you could show us something
more substantial about Mikey.
You did subscribe.
How about this?
That's substantial.
That is, yes, that right. That is a good word. Yep. Substantial.
And look at him. He looks so happy right there.
You know,
he looks so absolutely happy in this
He
photo.
Looks as if he shares joy every day of the week.
Yes, exactly.
I like that.
From every end.
He is a giver for sure.
Thanks, Rick.
Of course.
Well, I don't know
anybody
about
else.
I need a cigarette now. I don't even smoke. Damn. Hello.
Lordy. Okay. Somebody save me.
Well, if it's birthday boys, that means Jake's right. Next.
Well, last night for me was pretty boring, but I do have a couple.
Okay, next. No, sorry.
Thank you, next. I do have a couple of last night, like mornings where I wake up and go, wow. Mm. About last night.
Exactly.
The most recent one that come to mind left this wonderful scar here on my brow.
Well, hello.
George and I went to Connie and Ted's in West Hollywood to see the restaurant. It's great. Great
food.
You
did not see Rick there, though.
No.
No.
You would never see Rick there. And
for the record, Rick does not like seafood.
No.
That's right.
Exactly. We had a couple cocktails, and we ordered pretty much everything on the menu. Fish, clams, and oysters, and...
Nasty.
We had five drinks apiece.
Perhaps it was an overindulgence.
It was most definitely.
Well, an imagine that.
Seafood is hard to overindulge in because I like it so much.
Yeah. And it's light, so
it
you
is.
Can keep eating and keep eating it. It doesn't
feel you too much. Clam is not a cow. It's a clam.
Nasty.
Yeah.
It's nasty. It's not light. It's nasty.
Delicious.
Gross.
Yummy.
Well, then we thought it would be a good idea to stop at Laura Hardware on our way back from that.
And for
that's always a good idea.
And for those of you who do not know, it's not an Ace Hardware. No. It used to be, but now it's a bar and a restaurant.
And
with
they,
fabulous drinks.
I mean, amazing drinks.
Yes.
And I decided, I'm going to start drinking martinis.
Well, there's never too late to start.
And this is after 5 rounds of cocktails at the Connie and Ted. So
notice George hasn't said anything again.
This ain't my story.
Are you having a cigarette over there, George?
Same my story.
Well, I mean, probably about an hour into it, George was done. Like,
Moderation
is your middle name, said no one.
Her name is Ma Duration.
And I was learn vibing. It's all right. Go ahead.
Learn it and learn it well.
And I was vibing and I didn't want to leave.
You were on a roll.
I was on a roll.
I love
it. I was overindulging.
Find that pleasure. Sure. Ride that pleasure with you.
The bartender was making he was making the drinks well, and I was go pointing fingers like, woohoo. I think at one point I did join a table there. I was at a community table, so I just joined in the group next to me. The next thing I remember is waking up and George and our friend Josh are dabbing my head with a cotton swab and alcohol because apparently my head was cut open.
Oh, my God.
You know, I never join community tables. I don't trust them. I don't know those people. Somebody probably attacked you.
Yeah.
You poor little lamb. I'm sure that was it.
That was it.
Some mean, nasty person did that to you.
So apparently at some point I stumbled and fell.
Did you find your lipstick print on the sidewalk anywhere?
No,
or not?
No. Okay. No, I don't quite remember. So
so when you remember waking up, where were you?
I was home at that point. Mm. Apparently, I got myself home. No, I didn't get myself
home. No, he did not.
They found me a couple blocks from Laurel Hardware.
I found you.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. On Vaseline Alley, probably.
No, that was a different time.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That might have been me.
I mean, for the longest time, I thought I was, I was drugged, but I think I just drank a little too much.
I've had a few of those nights, though, where I'm like, did somebody slip something in my drink?
And I tripped.
You did. Right into the glass.
Yeah, the bartender slipped something into your empty drink repeatedly.
And that doesn't happen very often, but that's definitely one of those about last night moments.
Girl. You ever wake up with that obligatory social media cleanup? What the fuck did I post last night? Check the text.
Who did you text?
Right. Oh, for me, it's often work email. Like, did I send a work email last night? Sometimes I did. It's like, oh, God, how do I get out of this?
Cringy.
To whom it may concern.
I don't need to follow a chain of command. I'm going to email Margie. I know Margie.
Just go to the top, baby. Who wants to work your way up, honey? Go right on to the top. Well, I might have had a night like that before myself, Jake. You know, I'm not going to leave you out there twisting in the wind alone. I met Rick.
Again.
Right. I met Rick and Ronnie and Steven and a bunch of people and Scotty at Oil Can Harry's one night. And I had taken...
I know the story.
I had taken Lyft or Uber or somebody because I was a responsible person that day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I probably hadn't eaten since, 3 o'clock or whatever. But anyway,
Tuesday.
2 days earlier. So at some point in the night, it was like, okay, I really have got to go because, I'm toast. And so the happy hour was upstairs in the back of the bar at Oil Can Harry's. And I come down to the bottom of the stairs and I'm trying to navigate Lyft or an Uber. I couldn't even get to that because I locked myself out of the iPhone.
Girl.
It was facial recognition and it didn't recognize her face.
No.
Like, bitch, I know who you are.
So I'm sitting like a couple of steps down from the bottom on the staircase. And I was like, I can squint and it says 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay. So I leaned against the wall. And my friends came down. Well, they actually came out for a smoke. They didn't really give a shit about me, but they came out for a smoke and see me at the bottom of the stairs. And Ronnie comes down trying to help me open the phone. He had to wake me up first, but then he, you know, at least I wasn't asleep inside the bar because that's illegal in California. I was at the bottom of the stairs. So, you know, technicality, just so we're clear.
Not
here.
A lawbreaker.
Oh, my goodness. So, but I did get home. Am I doing another night, which we'll save for another day?
Ain't no time like the present, honey.
Oh my God! I went to the 12 bars of Christmas in WeHo one year, and I made it to bar number 5.
Oh well, I mean, 12 is a big number.
12 is a big number. A few of them made it, but I certainly didn't. And so, a friend of ours, Francisco, if you're listening, you can never touch my phone ever because of this, and you know that. So, he said, oh, just give me your phone. I'll order you a car. He managed to lock me out of both Lyft and Uber. Okay, not out of the phone, but Lyft and Uber. So, it was apparent I really needed to get home from West Hollywood back to the Valley. So, they ordered a cab. So the cab comes in. They literally pour me into the cab, shut the door. You know, I probably sleep the whole way back to the Valley. I'm not driving, responsible once again. And I get back to the Valley and he stops and probably wakes me up. Anyway, I bound out of the cab and I'm like, bye bye, bye bye. Nice to see you. Merry Christmas. Bye bye, bye bye. And he's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going in. You just dropped me off. I'm home. You need to pay me. Why would I pay you? You need to pay me. I am not going to pay you. You need to pay me. I'm like, isn't this Lyft or Uber? And I stumble back a few blocks. I'm like, oh, it's a fucking cab. Who has money?
That is amazing.
Well,
I feel like you found the only like living cab left in like, Los Angeles.
Right? I mean, honestly, when I got out of the cab, nobody takes a cab unless it's a life or death situation. So, you know.
Girl, you were getting there. Well,
I was teetering on the edge.
It was a matter of urgency.
One foot in the grave, one foot on a banana peel. Right?
It was destination moon, baby. I was ready for sleep.
So, I think my worst about last night's story, this was years ago, and this one's really bad. My friend Monica's best friend was getting married, and this was my super Martha Stewart period. Yes. So I was like, as my gift, I will make you a wedding cake, because I'm a giver.
Yes.
And I did. Bitches, I don't know if you've ever made a wedding cake, but that is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And I would never have done that.
And you don't assemble it at home. You assemble it when you get to the venue.
No, yeah. You're exactly. Shitting me.
No.
Really?
Yeah. You can't take this.
Oh, well, I guess not.
So you assemble it at the venue. So,
and honey, you don't drive, so
exactly.
How many parts did you put in somebody else's vehicle?
All of them. So I get there early
four
in the morning.
Right.
So I get there early in the morning to assemble the wedding cake, and I haven't eaten, and I don't eat all day. While I was assembling the wedding cake, I became aware that there were only like 6 bottles of champagne for the entire reception.
Oh.
And I was like, bitch.
That ain't gonna cut it, honey. I need 2 of those for myself.
I am literally here for the champagne. So we get the wedding cake assembled. Remember, haven't eaten all day long. The wedding's like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So get the wedding cake assembled, go to the wedding, come back, rush back as soon as the champagne's open in the kitchen where the wedding cake is, where I am, and I'm cutting it and serving it. I'm downing it, downing the champagne, like literally probably drinking.
You have to test to make sure it's not spoiled or burned, right?
Exactly.
there were 5 champagne. Bottles. He was getting 2 of them.
100%. It's like, this cake was a gift, except it's going to cost you this. So by the time the reception's really going, I am wasted. Like, so, like, cannot stand up anymore, wasted. And I'm wearing, like, this cream sweater and these pink slacks. And I'm falling in the yard. And I have, like, grass stains on my knees and on my elbows.
Oh, he calls it falling in the yard. Okay, go ahead.
Like, I am a wreck. And my friend Monica's there. She was, like, one of the maid of honor. Because this is her best friend from high school that got married. And I'm kind of her date.
Okay.
And she's like, oh my gosh, she's like, I cannot leave. Like, I have to stay here. You are such a mess. She's like, she puts me in her car. She's like, just go to sleep. Go to sleep in the backseat. Go to sleep. And I do for like, you know, 20 minutes.
And then I pop back up. There's champagne.
Get out of the car. Monica's dancing on the dance floor. And I come up to her and she was like, oh my God, it's like Night of the Living Dead. You won't stay down.
Oh, it was so awful. I feel so. I felt so guilty about that for some years. Like, oh, did I ruin their wedding?
Is there a bright side, or are they divorced?
They are.
Okay, it's a bright side.
That was totally fine.
Yeah, it's all right. They knew that was a practice wedding anyway.
But the cake was lovely.
Well, I knew it was, Martha. Come on. Yeah. Tell you truth.
Well, it's a good thing we have good friends to take care of us in these moments, right?
That is very true.
Absolutely. Thank you, George. Thank you, Josh.
Yes.
Thank you, Monica.
Mine usually just take photos and video.
Well, do they split the profit with you?
No, I haven't seen a penny yet.
Danny. Only blackmail.
You're going to sue the bitch.
Right. An invasion of my privacy.
None of the tree beauties were going to be there. And she was right.
Oh, you know, there've always been something. And it doesn't really matter if it's just a, you know, crazy night out that shit goes right or wrong. But life happens, you know. The best thing is if we can look back and laugh at it, at least now.
Yeah, exactly. I usually have to send that text message in the morning, though. It's like, okay, I had a lovely time last night. Who did I offend? Who do I have to apologize to?
Amen. Amen.
You never send that to me.
Oh, I've sent it to a few.
No, actually, Rick in the morning will say, what in the fuck were you trying to tell me in this text? I'm like, I don't know. Just choose every other letter. It'll make sense eventually.
It's code.
I don't want someone to find out, you know. Even you, even though I sent you the text.
Well, mate, right. Must have been the one-armed man.
Well, guys, this little birthday drink has all dried up, I think.
I think we've already been to the moon. It's time to shoot back to Earth.
Shall we overindulge?
By the hell not.
Let's do it.
All right.
See y'all soon.
See you next week.
Bye, you guys.
If you want more Magnolias, find us at Queer Magnolias on Twitter and at Queer Magnolias Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. DM us or head to our comments section and drop a line. Listen to us on Spotify, iHeart, Apple Podcast, and anywhere else you might find your podcast. Thanks for listening.